This podcast replay is brought to you by Caneswear.com. For all your Canes, Dolphins, and Heat needs, visit them at 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Free shipping with online orders over $99. Go to Caneswear.com at Miami Fanwear. That's the spot where South Florida fans shop.
Feeling great, O. How are you?
I cannot complain, my brother. Somebody was asking me, who's in worse shape? The Dolphins or the Canes? And I was like, yeah, I don't think any of them are in worse shape. I think they're both in terrific shape. I think the Canes are headed in the right direction. I think the Dolphins are headed in the right direction, too. They need a little luck, you know, overall. But I feel good about where both programs are compared to where they were a few years back.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're just at the start of something new, right? I mean, that's both of them are in the same sort of position. You hope that year two they take a step forward with their new coaches. And the Dolphins, you know, quarterback health, that's the main thing. They need Tua to be healthy. If he's not, then that becomes a bigger problem. But I think right now the Canes, you know, I mean, you're coming off a 5-7 season. There's nowhere to go but up. So
Yeah. All right, let me ask you something that isn't Canes related, but it's Canes related.
Sure.
Ed Reed.
Yeah.
What the hell happened at Bethune-Cookman, dude?
Yeah, it's a crazy story, right? I mean, it looked like he had a lot of people who were ready to start investing some money and some resources to help him turn things around there. But Ed is a very fiery guy who likes to get on social media, and those two things aren't good in today's day and age. Oh, and unfortunately, he went on a couple of rants ripping the university for not having his office clean, among other things, not having people around to do the job that needed to be done, you know, with the fields and so forth. And so he was angry. And ultimately, when you're dealing with people in administrations, some people can take criticism, some people can't. And the people, I think, at Bethune-Cookman weren't ready to hear a guy like Ed Reed be Ed Reed. And it's their loss in the end, because I think he would have been a guy who came in and at least positively influenced change at that university. They're 2-9 program back-to-back years. You know, most of these HBCUs are lifeless unless you get a guy like Deion Sanders to come in there to help turn things around. And I think that was their best bet. And Ed, unfortunately, talked a little bit too much, and that set some people off in power in the wrong direction, and they basically flipped it on him. And so now we'll see where he ends up. I don't know if Ed gets an opportunity somewhere else. I hope he does. I think he could be a positive influence at a number of HBCUs and FCS type programs. And I don't see the problem with that. And especially, I think what we learned with Deion Sanders is if you've got a guy who's motivated, who wants to make change, and he's bringing some money with him, that's probably the best thing for your school.
So let me ask you, why wasn't all this stuff talked about before you actually took the job?
You would think so, right? You would assume so, that these things are discussed. But I guess, you know, in the time that he was there working unofficially, right, where he didn't have a contract and he was sort of feeling his way through the process, there were things that he saw that he didn't like. And he voiced his opinion on it, and it became a power struggle. And at that point, BCU's administration basically decided, we're not giving in to this guy. We don't care that he's a Hall of Famer. And in today's age, again, it's how much do you want to win, right? Like, how much does your program really want to change things? I think Bethune-Cookman's administration was probably excited about Ed Reed at first. And then when they realized, hey, he's going to go on social media and say things that we probably don't want him to say, they had a little bit of buyer's remorse, and that's all that happened.
That is crazy, dude. I mean, wow. That it just, this thing exploded, and, you know, you got the IG going live and all this stuff, and you're, like, watching this happen and you know, in real time, and you're like, what the hell is going on over at, and see, here's the thing, and this is kind of the, I don't know, this is the monster that a lot of these programs are dealing with. It's not just HCBUs, but FIU and FAU right here, just right next to our house, right here in our backyard, Florida Memorial. You know, you want to have a football program, man, that costs a lot of money. And if you want to make money in college football, well, then you're going to have to spend a lot of money in, you know, on the front end of all of this to wait for the back end for it to pay off. And I sometimes think that these schools, they say they want to do it until they actually realize what it takes to actually look at FIU and FAU. They have some of the best alumni bases anywhere in, you know, the southern part of Florida. They have every opportunity that if they ever became a power, they would have big ass fan bases that could support them. But they have never made that fiscal commitment that you need in order to get over the hump. And I wonder sometimes that, you know, what happened at Jackson State kind of, I don't know, misleads others like Bethune-Cookman thinking, well, maybe we can do the same thing. And it's like, yeah, I don't think you're ready to really spend the kind of money that it takes to do this.
No, it's a serious investment. And, you know, I'll tell you from just covering the University of Miami, the way that program is operated as the poor little private school, right? They didn't have any money. They couldn't afford paying high-priced coaches, et cetera, for many, many years.
Yeah.
It ultimately took the administration to be in the black, not in the red, and then to have, you know, guys like Rudy Fernandez and others that said, no, we really want this football thing. We need it to be successful. That's our brand, right? Like, that's one of our three main pillars at the University of Miami. It's football. And so unless you have alignment between the president, the people who spend the money, the donors, and then the actual coach or the person who wants to be an agent of change at that particular school, you're not going to have success. And at places like FIU, where I graduated, and FAU and other places, where people go to school down here in South Florida, as much as we all love our universities, right, and where we attended school, in the end, we're not all billionaires. There's only a few of us that can financially support the change, right? I think it's the challenge at FIU and FAU and all these other places is finding the right coach, finding the right figurehead who's going to inspire that change, or who's going to get people behind them to say, we want to open up our wallets. And for Miami, it was getting Mario Cristobal. I don't think if they don't go out and get Mario Cristobal first, I don't think you see this influx of money being poured into the football program the way it is.
I'm with you there. Deion Sanders flipping Cormani, what happened? How did he flip him? Was it all money? That's it? That's all?
No,
it was?
No, it's not all money. I mean, I think the deals that he was going to get at Miami and potentially Florida or anywhere else where he ended up, I think those were going to be comparable. I think in today's age, the schools that these elite players are picking, they're all paying something. They're all investing some sizable amount of money to get these five-star recruits. I think the issue here was Deion is a megastar, right? Like, he's got his network on Amazon Prime. He's got his shows. He's got the little YouTube company who sits there and broadcasts everything that he does. I think Cormani McClain and his mom were enamored by that. And I think they're also enamored by the fact that he's a Hall of Fame cornerback. Look, I just attended this 7-on-7 tournament, this Battle Miami, this past weekend. I talked to a lot of kids while I was there. And, you know, from all over the country, I asked each of them, I said, well, has Deion reached out to you? You know, has Colorado? And all of their faces light up. Like, that's the cool guy to go play for. It really is. Like, right. He is it right now in college football. And a lot of these are 2024, 2025 kids. They can't make a decision for a while, but I'll tell you right now, they're all watching Colorado. They're all interested in Colorado. They're all excited by the fact of what it is that he's doing and the fact that he's on Amazon Prime, that they can watch. You can be a star online on a streaming service if you go play for Deion. People are going to pay attention to you. And if you think about it, that's one aspect that really a lot of these old school coaches, Mario Cristobal, Nick Saban, Kirby Smart over Georgia, they're not sitting there broadcasting their every move. They don't have videos up. And these kids nowadays love it. They want that attention. They want to be superstars every minute of the day.
Hmm. All right. What's the latest on the recruiting side with the Canes?
Well, they got a couple guys that are on campus now. School's registration finalizes Wednesday. So they've got 48 hours essentially to try to get a couple of transfers in if they want to get them. Tashim Johnson is a former starting defensive back at Ole Miss, started 19 games while he was there. He's on campus. He tweeted out he was here in Miami taking an official visit. I think he previously visited Oregon. So Miami's pushing to get Tashim Johnson. He'd be one of those replacements for Kamani McClain in the defensive backfield. And then yesterday, Terry Roberts, who I mentioned to you a couple of weeks ago from Iowa, a fifth or sixth year player who's dealt with some injuries but is excellent when he's healthy. He's actually enrolled in classes. He finally announced that he's here at Miami. So they got him at the DB position. And then there's one high school recruit that I think they're hosting this weekend. Defensive lineman, 6'3", 320 pounds, Jamel Howard, out of Marist High School in Chicago. You know how Miami likes those Chicago defensive linemen. They've brought those guys in the past. So they got one of those kids here. He's a three-star kid, kind of a leftover who didn't sign in December. Again, trying to beef up positions that they've made clear, that Mario's made clear that they're looking for more help. So, again, slow drip, hashtag slow drip with all of this stuff, because, you know, you can sign guys all the way up until August.
No, I know. Anything new on the offensive coordinator front?
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that we'll hear something at some point. You know, somebody else called me this morning and asked me, why hasn't the Gattis thing happened yet? And I said, well, maybe he just hasn't gotten a job yet. Again, when was the last time Mario fired anybody? I think they're all encouraged to go find other work. I think in this instance, Josh Gattis is probably still looking.
Didn't Michigan just fire their co-offensive coordinator?
Yeah, they did, but I'm not sure.
I was wondering when I saw that Michigan fired their co-offensive coordinator, says, are they reopening the position for Josh Gattis to go out there? I don't know. You know,
I'd be very surprised. The Athletic, Bruce Feldman, who I work with, did a story on Gattis's time, among other coaches, at Michigan, and he wasn't the most well-liked character up there. So my guess is he wouldn't be back at Michigan. Maybe another Big Ten school, but I think this is about for him making the jump to the NFL, and, well, the NFL season's still going on.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Any new Ruiz news?
Well, I know he has been discussing that. I think he's going to unveil his plans for his stadium at the Miami Spring Game. I haven't spoken to him about it. I know that he's put it out there on social media that he's going to unveil these plans at the Spring Game. I'm interested to see, you know, what he shows us, what the stadium looks like, and then, most importantly, which politicians are going to help him get this through in the city of Miami. And
I mean, Crazy Joe will help him. But here's the thing, that the part that I don't understand about all of this is,
yeah,
you hear that UM kind of distanced themselves from all of this, yet he wants to build a stadium for the University of Miami. And yet, have we heard about any, like, you know, contractual talks about breaking a lease over at Hard Rock Stadium? And, well, you know, there's so many layers to this story than just building a stadium. And I get it. He could build a stadium. Obviously, he's got the money, he's got the power, and probably enough influence in town, just like I'm sure Moss or Mickey Arison have, to get their things done, just like Wayne had in Fort Lauderdale. So that part I'm not really worried about. You can always work around politics, you know what I'm saying? But it's just kind of interesting, the dynamics of the Hurricanes already have a home. They're under contract for a long time.
2032.
Yeah, it's like, you know, there's more to talk about here. You know, it's kind of weird.
I've said this on the show here many times. Miami likes where they're at. They like the location. They feel it's a very good central location to get fans from as far north as Palm Beach to come down and watch their games. If they build a stadium closer to campus, they don't think it's going to change the number of season ticket holders or or increase the size of their crowds.
Winning does.
Winning is, they kind of know that winning has everything to do with this. And I think and you said something earlier that Ruiz wants to build them a stadium. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think Ruiz wants to build a stadium and be the owner of it and have the University of Miami, among other people, play there. You know, his dream is to build an entire sports facility beyond a football stadium over there at Tropical Park. And I think this is about him investing a lot of money so that he gets a profit and has a legacy here in the city of Miami. And, you know, I've attended multiple events where Ruiz has been and spoken, and his dream is to own the Marlins, to own the Dolphins, to be a team owner. And I think building a stadium is step number one, probably, for all of that.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind him owning the Marlins. What the hell? He'll spend at least. That's for sure. Damn.
That's right.
Although I got to give him credit. They did make a nice little trade there. Now we'll see if they can re-sign him when he needs a new contract. All right, what do you got going on in The Athletic so folks can check you out and subscribe?
Yeah, I interviewed Andrew Ivins, who is a colleague of mine, a friend of mine, who's been down here in South Florida for several years doing the recruiting, and just talking about the whole process of how they select their five-star recruits. And so I'm doing a series on five stars, including a review of the ones that played this past season. Miami, of course, signed a couple of five stars in this 2023 class. So Mario's starting to get some five stars back in Miami. But I'm fascinated by the whole recruiting and scouting aspect of it. And so my story, the one that just was posted this morning, is on that. I'll have another one the day after. I'll have a feature story on Julian Sain, who's the quarterback for Team Raw, one of the seven on seven teams here out of South Florida that John Ruiz has partnered with. Julian's committed to go play quarterback at Alabama. I spoke to him and his father a couple of weeks ago, so that story will finally be coming out sometime this week. A lot of stuff going on, man. I mean, I know it's the off season, and we're like, what? You know, football season's over, but we got signing day next week. I have a mailbag. I have a bunch of different things coming out. So make sure you subscribe to The Athletic. And if not, check out the podcast as well, the Wide Right Podcast.
There you go. And follow him on Twitter at Manny_Navarro. As always, thank you, my brother. We'll catch up later on in the week.
All right, I'll take care, man.
You got it. There you go. The great Manny Navarro. Appreciate him. Don't forget, Caneswear, man, right in Davie, right down the street, right from where we're at here at Cutter's Edge Pro at 2511 South University Drive in Davie. They've got anything and everything with the Canes logo on it, man. I'm telling you, from sneakers to hats to, they've got like, I don't know, 70, 80, 100 different T-shirts of the Canes. They've got all kinds of things. They've got stuff with, they've got Inter Miami gear. They've got Miami Dolphins gear, Miami Heat. They even have some Miami Marlins gear, probably discounted. They've got all kinds of stuff out there, man. Go to 2511 South University Drive. And for those of you that live outside of the South Florida area, or, man, if you're in Palm Beach and Hope Sound, or you're in Homestead, you probably won't go to Davie. But you can get online at caneswear.com. And if you order over $99, you will get free shipping. And Jeff and the boys ship it quickly, baby. They get it out to you right away. Go to caneswear.com and get it done.
This podcast replay is brought to you by caneswear.com. For all your Canes, Dolphins, and Heat needs, visit them at 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Free shipping with online orders over $99. Go to caneswear.com at Miami Fanwear. That's the spot where South Florida fans shop.
There he is. Oh, let me make sure I take off this damn billboard there. All right, there he is.
What's happening, brother?
Not much. You doing all right?
Doing good, man. Well rested. I took some pills last night. I had this terrible shoulder pain, so I woke up to the Josh Gattis news. I had my story ready to go for about a month. So thankfully, my editors were on the ball, ready to publish. But I'm glad it's over and done with.
Yeah. By the way, you're giving us that actor's mask, half of it dark, half of it white. I
apologize. I normally have my light on and realize it's not working about 2 seconds ago. Let me try again. Yeah. See if it, okay. There we go. There we go. There's a little more light for you. How's that? Is that better?
Now you're like a third of the moon now is being covered up right now. So tell me. So this is when I saw this news, I was like, I thought of you right away because, you know, you're like, well, you know, Mario doesn't really want to fire people. He wants them to kind of move on their own.
Yeah.
Well, this kind of tells me that nobody wanted his ass.
They were like, pretty much.
Oye, we got to move on, dude. Come on, let's go. You can't find a job. You don't have a job. And then he couldn't get a job. And then they said, well, you know, we got this offensive coordinator already in mind. We got to move on. And that's kind of the impression I got, that they were like, they bought as much time as they possibly could to avoid this, but they couldn't avoid
exploited anymore.
Correct. I think, you know, part of this people don't realize because they just think, oh, he's got to worry about the program. It's like, no, coaches make these decisions months in advance or weeks in advance, and then they're already looking for the replacement. This is just like a courtesy so that the people who you hire next, look, every you know, the coaching business is about hiring and firing. That's what it's about. Guys change jobs regularly now. It's just the way it is. And so you want the guys that you hire to know, hey, I didn't treat this guy bad on the way out the door. I didn't embarrass him on the way out the door. Those are things that leave an impression when you work in this business. So Mario is just taking that approach, right? That's sort of a Nick Saban approach. Nick Saban doesn't really fire guys either. So, you know, that was one of his teachers, as somebody he learned from, and that's the way he handles it.
All right. So this kind of tells me also that we might be hearing about a new offensive coordinator soon. What you got for us?
Well, listen, I put out a huge list of names in this story of guys that he spoke to last time. And really, I think in the end, oh, I know this is going to sound terrible coming out of my mouth because people were like, coaches are so important, coordinators. I think whoever he hires, the most important thing to me, and we can discuss names in a second, the most important thing to me is find a guy who can communicate to these kids the way Rhett Lashley did, because Rhett Lashley found a way to build an offense that was simplified and allowed these guys to thrive and not think. I think what we learned with Josh Gattis, and I think what Mario learned in year one, is doesn't have some of the brightest bulbs in the shed here as far as the roster, kids that can pick up complicated concepts and things that need to be executed the right way. I talked to some players in the last few weeks, guys that have left the program and are always more willing to talk once they're gone. And you know, that's exactly what they said. It was more complicated of an offense. You know, there were issues of guys being unhappy with their playing time, all kinds of reasons why this offense sucked. And ultimately, whoever comes in has to be on the same page with the players and get the most out of them and simplify things so that they can run something they're comfortable with. I think whoever he hires to do that has to be, you know, that guy. Now, as far as names, I mentioned James Coley because he's in an interesting situation at Texas A&M because they brought in Bobby Petrino. He's a guy who has enjoys play calling. That's one name that I mentioned as a potential candidate, one name that I heard during the process. there are others. They will all come out in time. I'm sure other people have put some names out as well. But I think right now it's speculation because I don't know how far along he really is in making this decision of who's going to be the guy.
Okay. Do you have a name or two that you think might be the guy out of that list?
Look, it's more of a matter of when we get closer to it actually happening. Like right now, I don't think we're close to it happening. I don't think Mario's going to announce it. I don't think we're close.
Okay, no. I thought we, because of this, because it's taken so long to finally get to this point, that's what I thought. I thought we're actually really close to adding that offensive coordinator because, you know, time's running out. You've already gone through this recruiting process. He wasn't part of it and all that kind of stuff. So then, you know, I figured that
I think there's still some NFL. I think there's still potentially some NFL guys that he's interested in speaking to. And again, like go back and look at the calendar last year when he made these hires, especially offensive coordinator. I was one of, you know, Gattis and the two coordinator positions, he took his time with it. So I don't think that we're, you know, it's not going to happen tomorrow. It probably will happen in another week or two. But as far as names and people who are out there, I mean, I provided a list within The Athletic. There's a bunch of names in there of guys that he interviewed the last time. Obviously, everybody wants Joe Brady. He's a guy who doesn't want to be in the NFL. Jason Candle was a name I mentioned last time. He's a coach at Toledo, a guy that I know he liked. Andy Ludwig, who's from Utah, the offensive coordinator over there. I know he interviewed him last time, went through the process. Liam Cohen. Those are all guys that were part of the conversation. So if you want to think of guys along those trees, those coaching trees, guys that are connected to people like that, that he went through the interview process, a deep interview process, talking to those guys, and there's other suggestions, you know, guys that come from those sort of coaching trees, I think that's what he's looking at.
Brian Hartline?
He's a co-offensive coordinator now at Ohio State.
No, the offensive coordinator, not the Ohio State, the offensive coordinator at the University of Miami.
Let me ask you, if you are an offensive coordinator, right, and you're a guy or a guy who wants to be an offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach, receivers coach, I think in this case it's going to be a quarterbacks coach who he hires, right, because this whole thing of making Gattis the receivers coach and the offensive coordinator didn't work. You didn't have the communication you needed in the quarterback room. So I think it has to be, again, Hartline is a receivers coach. That's what he does. He's just like Gattis. I think it has to be.
You could have a good QB coach and have Hartline as your offensive coordinator, and
they just went through that. They just went through that. Okay. They just went through that. I think it's going to be a quarterback.
I just want to bring his recruiting skills here, bro.
Well, I know you do. You and every Miami fan does. You and every Miami fan does. But
the offensive coordinator, assistant head coach, and give him a really good parking space.
Yeah, I wish. Look, what I was going to say is a lot of these guys who do this, you know, they look at the situation now with Gattis, right? He's the guy who just came off the Broyles Award, and now he's leaving. He can't find a job in the – that's how bad things were at Miami. So you need a guy who obviously
– poor guy's holding out a Salvation Army Cup now. I mean, yeah, it's really
bad. Well, you need a guy who obviously – is willing to work with Mario, you know, and the reputation Mario has is that he messes with the offense a little bit too much. He tries to turn things into a rock fight with opponents instead of letting guys, you know, be aggressive and throw the ball down the field, that kind of stuff. And Gattis, in a lot of ways, was what Mario wants, a guy who likes to run the football first. I think most people in college football will tell you need to have an elite passing game to win now, and that's the part that I, you know, that's why you sit here and you say, Manny, what names do you got? I don't think it's a lot of these names that I mentioned. Those are guys he went through the process with. I think it could be somebody different who's a quarterback's coach who, you know, is a different flavor for Mario and allows him to come out and run a different kind of offense. I'm hoping that's the case anyway.
So you're saying they're going to hire Adam Gase? Okay.
Yes. Right. Adam Gase is the guy, right?
All right, Nuggets. I mean, he's coaching high school right now. He needs to come back up a level at least, so... You know, the return of Adam Gase would really inspire a lot of people in the Canes Nation, especially Dolphins fans. They really would love to see Adam Gase back.
Everybody wants to see Ken Dorsey here, right? And it's a pipe dream. He's running the Buffalo Bills offense. I mean, that's just never going to happen. Joe Brady doesn't want to come back.
The budget for laptops and notebooks would just go through the roof. That guy's breaking everything left out. How many did he break this past weekend? It's not a good thing. I don't know. That temper tantrum stuff. I don't know.
Oh, again, man, like I go back to my main point. Whoever the hell he gets to come in here, just run an offense that these kids can run and play fast and not feel stupid running it, not be confused. Rhett Lashley tapped into something. That's why he's the one coordinator who's averaged over 30 points here in the last 6 years.
Okay. All right. What else? What else going on? Anything recruiting wise that we should know about?
No, I mean, listen, they're still looking to add at the outside receiver position. They're still looking to add a defensive tackle if they can add more depth. They're still looking to add wherever they can get a cornerback, you know, somebody who comes in and can help replace the Cormani McClain departure. So, you know, there's lots of visits and things that are going on. I'm not as into this as I probably should be, but it because it's just because I feel like, again, this is going to run out. This is going to expire in May. So like the roster to me, like all the names that are out there now, these dudes are trying to add right now. They're not sexy. I think there's going to be a lot more sexier names after spring football, guys who decide to enter the transfer portal then. And so over the summer, I think it'll get jazzed up. So all of like there's, you know, Gabby and Matt Schodell, all these guys do a great job. Kane Sport, 247. They track every bowel movement. I kind of cut to the chase.
That's not a lot of fun tracking bowel movement.
Yeah. Every recruiting bowel movement is covered
that's
by
a shitty job. That's a really shitty job.
I don't want to do that. I don't. I think what makes sense is pay attention in May when the next transfer window opens up. There'll be some good names then.
Okay. All right. Follow him on Twitter at Manny_Navarro. More importantly, subscribe to The Athletic, baby.
They know how to get it done there, covering college and all the major sports and some international soccer too. So go there and subscribe to The Athletic for only for pennies a day, man. Pennies a day. You'll probably
a lot of good national coverage, big story, yeah, like big picture stories. I mean, I did a bunch of news. Yeah, all that stuff is on there. I mean, they're putting up the news that I wrote 3 or 4 weeks ago. The stories I wrote, they're finally running them today. So they're all there. They're all ready to rock, and we'll see what happens going forward. I'll have stuff. Bruce Feldman and I will get on the phone and talk. Bruce is very tapped into the coaching ranks, so I know he talks to Josh Gattis and other people. I'm interested to see what happened with Josh Gattis, so maybe I'll have that story for you guys next time.
Well, Josh, I heard, is going to be the offensive coordinator for Adam Gase in high school. So
that's what it is. They're going to work together, combine.
They're going to be working together.
Combine their services.
Yep, that's it. Combine that intelligence that they've got together, and that'll really lift them to, I don't know, 3-4 wins this year or something. I have no idea. Follow him on Twitter at Manny_Navarro and catch his work there at The Athletic and subscribe. Manny, have a great weekend, my friend. We'll catch up on Tuesday.
You too, brother.
Thank you, sir. There you go. Manny Navarro, baby, and our Caneswear Miami Hurricanes report. And don't forget, folks, you can order, all right, at Caneswear. Like, you know, the other day I was wearing this hat. And you guys love this hat. They've got all kinds of stuff with the Dolphins logo. They got Heat. They got Marlins. They've got Inter Miami gear. They got Florida Panthers. And they've got practically anything and everything with the Canes logo on it. You want like a neon sign for your bar? They got it. You want sneakers? They got it. You want Canes jackets, classic Canes jackets? They've got them. Hats galore. They got some really badass hats that they just got in. T-shirts galore, you name it, bro. Go to caneswear.com. You don't even have to go to the store. You can go online and check it all out. By the way, when you order over $99, you will get free shipping. So go to caneswear.com.